I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture today is John 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of his fold, and I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Troy. This scripture that Troy just read, I have questions for you, because this scripture raises a lot of questions. And the first one is, how many of you are paying or have paid off a mortgage on your home? Quite a few. How many of you are paying or have paid off the car or cars that you drive? And how many of you are raising or have raised a child or children? That's quite a few. And I want you to think about these three questions as we go through this, thinking about this scripture. A humanitarian group in Africa, noticing the filthy water, sewage, and disease, built clean water and a sewage system for the village. Months later, they visited the village, but it was back to square one with filthy water, sewage, and disease. The chief told the humanitarian workers, "And what did you expect?" These people had been many years without clean water. Then you gave it to them for free, in abundance. They took all they could use and more. The people did not work for those water stations. They do not own them, and they could not be persuaded to maintain them. The humanitarians were silent. The chief had spoken the truth. The great gift alone had not been enough, and the reasons could be clearly observed. Perhaps it is human nature to abuse a gift. The humanitarians returned to their camp and thought long and hard about how they could help the villagers. The next day, the humanitarians returned, determined to rebuild the water and sanitation systems with the following conditions. Number one, the villagers would have to pay for water and sanitation, not more than they could afford, but there would be no gift giving this time. Number two, a group of villagers would work with the contractors to build the system and would be taught how to repair every aspect of it. These villagers would in turn train others so the system would never fall into disrepair. With these new conditions in place, the water and sanitation systems were restored. This time the people had respect for the systems because they owned them. This time they were able to repair the system when it broke. To this day, the villagers have plenty of clean water and live free of filth and disease. There is a lot to be said for ownership. Having an investment in something. For most people, it brings a sense of responsibility and pride to know they did it themselves, that they are invested in something. That they are invested in something. Your homes that you've paid for or are paying for. At this time, would you just go home and trash them? Tear them up? How about your cars? When someone pulls up next to you and opens a car door and puts a dent in your car, do you say, eh, no problem? Or does it bother you because you own it, you're invested in it? And your children, same thing. You're invested in them. When I was 16, I got my driver's license and I wanted a car. And I remember this like it was yesterday. So I asked my parents to buy me one. My dad said, no, you must earn the money and buy it yourself. Now, I was livid, and I'll tell you why, because my brother, whom some of you met last week, is 4 years older, and when he turned 16, they gave him a car. And I said, wait, give me a car. He said, no, you got to earn it. So I was a little unhappy. I didn't know what to do. I was very angry with my parents, and I expressed out loud that I had assumed, since my brother got a car, that I would get one. And my dad quickly let me know what assume means. You also need to know that my brother had never worked a day in his life. Never. Other than the chores that my dad would have him do, he never had a job. I, on the other hand, had been working since I was 12. I got a paper route, and I'd been working a paper route, and at 15, I was not honest about my age, and I got a job and was working, which when they found out, I'd turned 16, so life turned out okay at that point, but I wanted money. I wanted to work. I enjoyed working, and so anger filled me because I had to work. Well, it became such a problem for me that I started taking odd jobs on top of what I was doing. I was going to school. I was getting out of school and going to work. And then I'd take jobs on the weekend. And eventually, I bought my car. And I loved my car. And I thought to myself, if my parents ever asked me to do anything with my car, I have control because it's my car. And I'm not taking my sister to school. I'm not taking people places, because they explained to me later, your brother being 4 years older, we gave him a car because he could take you and your sister to school, and we both work, so it saved us a lot of time and trouble. That's the reason we gave him one. Made sense. Didn't change the fact that I was a little unhappy, but nevertheless, it all worked out, and I got my car, and I was proud of my car, and I kept it for a lot of years. In fact, I paid it off. So that was a good thing. But now I look back and I think, well, I would have done the same thing. Why? Because I know that if Seth is invested in his car, if my son pays for his car, he's going to respect that car. He's going to love that car. He's going to take care of the car because he's invested in it. It's his. So he's already asked. He's going to take driver's ed in January, and he says, are you going to give me a car? And I said, no, but I'll let you earn one. Get out and work. But it's a lesson learned that when we invest ourselves in something, we are much more appreciative of what we have. So, what do we do then when we're feeling unloved and unwanted and wallowing in self-pity? But the truth is, God does things, which Jesus tells us, God does things so that we will learn to appreciate what we have. The scripture that we're reading, we're finding that Jesus said that a hireling is going to run because he's not invested in the sheep. He's just going to take off. But I am the good shepherd. My Father is invested in you. What was that investment? Do you know? What was God's investment in us? Think about that one. Now, here are these words again. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. Okay, let me express this in a wacky yet illustrative way that has to do with me getting a car. Who is given a car and does not buy his own car sees careless and irresponsible ways to use the car and participates in it because he cares nothing for the car. He is not invested in it. Jesus tells us that God has invested in us, that he continues to invest in us every day. Every day, his grace and mercy are always with us. Imagine there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. Yes, every morning. Think about this. However, it debits what is left over at the end of the day. Every evening, it deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw out every penny, of course. God has provided each of us with a bank. God has given us a bank, and that bank is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost whatever of this you have failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the day's deposits. The loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. It is your future. God has invested in you. What are you going to invest? Make the most of today. And remember, the reason Jesus died for us is because his Father is invested in us. That's right. God made the most of his creation by investing in it. At times when we feel down, used up, or worthless, God's word says, "You have such worth that I gave my only son." Don't tell me that you're worthless. That cannot be, because I gave my only son for you. Some years ago, a woman grabbed my arm at a conference after I'd finished speaking on the enormous need we all have for affirmation. "Reverend, may I tell you a story?" she asked. "Actually, it's a story of something my son did with my granddaughter that illustrates what you've been talking about, the importance of affirmation." "My son has two daughters," she said, "one who's 5 and one who is in the terrible twos. When a grandmother says this child is in the terrible twos, believe me, she is. For several years, my son has taken the oldest girl out for a date time, but he had never taken the 2-year-old until recently. On his first date with the younger one, he took her out to breakfast at a local fast food restaurant. They had just gotten their pancakes when my son decided it would be a good time to tell this child how much he loved and appreciated her. 'Jenny,' her son had said, 'I want you to know how much I love you and how special you are to Mom and me. We prayed for you for years, and now that you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl, we couldn't be more proud of you.' Once he had said all this, he stopped talking and reached over for his fork to begin eating, but he never got the fork to his mouth. His daughter reached out her little hand and laid it on her father's hand. His eyes went to hers, and in a soft, pleading voice, she said, 'Longer, Daddy, longer.' He put down his fork and proceeded to tell her some more reasons and ways they loved and appreciated her. And then he again reached for his fork. A second time, and a third, and a fourth time, he heard the words, 'Longer, Daddy, longer.' This father never did get much to eat that morning, but his daughter got the emotional nourishment she needed so much. In fact, a few days later, she spontaneously ran up to her mother and said, 'I'm a really special daughter, Mommy. Daddy told me so.' God invested in us. And every day that we walk this earth, God tells us how much he appreciates us. All we have to do is look to the cross. And if we don't look to the cross, we can look across to each other and know that God is with us and that God's Son has given us life eternal and forgiveness for our sins. God is invested in us. And we wonder, why would God care about me? But the truth is, he does, has, and always will. God invested in us. What does that mean? It means every day he whispers in our ears how much he loves us and how special we are. So in those times when we want to feel sad and bad and everybody's putting this burden on us, God is saying, I love you. I love you. And then his son stretched out his arms and died. For you, for me, for each and every one of us. Investments are so much better. If we invest in our church, if we invest in each other, if we invest in our children, invest in our homes, invest in our cars, it is a better time for us because we appreciate it so much more. But knowing that God has invested in us doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better than that. God loves us. In spite of our mistakes, in spite of our failings, in spite of anything that we could possibly do, God loves us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you knowing that oftentimes we just blow off the many gifts that you've given us. We know that during the day, we don't always use our day wisely. We're not always giving. We're not always loving. But Lord, you love us. And we cling to that, knowing that we can serve you better, knowing that we can do better. And we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that you give us what we need to be the people you would have us to be, that we may go forth from this place, reaching out to others, loving others, as you have loved us. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.